This is In the News for June 14th, 2006. I'm Scott Berguin with KSOWLP in Cottage Grove, Oregon. The first story today is taken from Common Dreams News Center at commondreams.org and from The Independent in the United Kingdom, written by Michael McCarthy. Japan buys votes to take control of whaling body. Japan has succeeded in buying the votes that will give it control of the International Whaling Commission, or IWC, later this week, in a major step towards bringing back commercial hunting of whales. The pro-whaling nation has gained the support of three more small countries to give it a definite majority in the IWC, and so begin in earnest its attack on the international whaling moratorium, which has been in force for 20 years. Its takeover of the IWC, likely to become clear on Friday, will be a major reverse for the international environmental movement, which has long thought that the fight for one of its iconic causes, Save the Whale, had been largely won. It will be a considerable propaganda victory not only for the Japanese, but also for other nations who are determined to continue whale hunting in spite of international opinion, principally Norway and Iceland. But Japan has done all the work. It marks the climax of a 10-year campaign of using substantial foreign aid packages to persuade small countries, often with no whaling tradition or even a coastline, to join the IWC and vote on the Japanese side. While the world has been looking the other way, the pro-Japan vote has built up over the years toward a controlling figure. The Japanese thought they had secured a 51% majority last year, but some of their allies did not turn up to vote at the IWC meeting in Ulsan, South Korea. At this year's meeting in St. Kitts and Nevis in the West Indies, there is likely to be no such slip-up. Japan has persuaded three more small nations, Guatemala, Cambodia, and the Marshall Islands, to join the IWC as its voting allies. Their applications for membership are being processed by the State Department of the United States, which is the depository nation for the IWC, as the treaty setting up the commission was signed in America. After their membership is confirmed, there will be 37 member states likely to vote with Japan and 30 on the anti-whaling side. The anti-whaling states, led by Britain, the U.S., Australia, New Zealand, and known in the IWC as the like-minded nations, have tried in the past few months to organize a counteroffensive. There were hopes that Slovenia, Croatia, and Israel could be persuaded to join their side, but it has not happened. Japan's 51% majority will not enable it to scrap the 1986 commercial whaling moratorium. For that, it needs a majority of 75%, but it will enable it to make major changes in the IWC, such as stopping all its conservation work, stopping all discussions of animal welfare in relation to whaling, promoting the trade in whale products, and reshaping the organization in a more pro-whaling fashion. There's more on this article, again, at Common Dreams News Center, commondreams.org. That was by Michael McCarthy of The Independent in the United Kingdom. And related to that, from the Environmental News Service at ens-newswire.com, Greenpeace ship denied entry to St. Kitts ahead of whale meeting. This is dated January 14th out of Frigate Bay, St. Kitts. The Greenpeace ship, the MY Arctic Sunrise, has been refused entry to St. Kitts, where the International Whaling Commission, or IWC, meeting opens on Friday. A notice refusing entry was sent to the ship's agent on June 9th from the St. Christopher and Nevis Ministry of National Security, Justice, Immigration, and Labor. No official reason for the notice had been given to the environmental organization, despite repeated requests from Greenpeace. John Bowler of Greenpeace International said, quote, "We are shocked that St. Kitts has banned the Arctic Sunrise and can only assume that the government of Japan has convinced the St. Kitts authorities to prevent us from entering in the hope that our criticism of whaling will be silenced," end quote. Greenpeace had intended to use the Arctic Sunrise in its lobbying activities at the IWC meeting, which could see the pro-whaling countries take control of the 70-member commission. Again, that is from ENS, or Environmental News Service, at ens-newswire.com. And finally today, out of Oregon, Salem, Oregon, also taken from the Environmental News Service at the previously mentioned website, Oregon governor will sue to stop first roadless timber sale. Oregon Governor Ted Kulongoski says he intends to file for a temporary restraining order in the Federal District Court in San Francisco to stop the federal government from proceeding with the sale of timber in the South Calmeopsis roadless area of the Siskiyou National Forest. Citing the need to protect roadless areas in the region of the 2002 Biscuit Fire, Governor Kulongoski said that the federal timber auction held June 9 would foreclose his ability to influence the management of Oregon's unroaded national forests when he petitions the federal government later this year. The U.S. Forest Service is moving forward with the timber sale despite the governor's March 9th letter requesting the agency not to do so. The governor said, quote, "This timber sale, coming 4 years after the Biscuit Fire occurred, is unneeded and unwise. opening this particular roadless area to salvage logging now when we are in the process of preparing a petition to the federal government on the proper management of those areas contradicts the assurances the Bush administration has made that the governor's opinion on such issues will be respected, end quote. Earlier this year, Oregon and three other states filed suit in federal court over the repeal of the 2001 roadless rule and the adoption of the 2005 rule. Briefs have been filed and the case is slated for oral arguments in the federal district court on August 1, 2006. A temporary restraining order would preserve the status quo during the court proceedings and prevent any irreparable harm that could result from the logging. The governor asked Oregon Attorney General Hardy Myers to file for a temporary restraining order when it became clear that the timber auction had produced a potential buyer for the area known as Mike's Gulch, which encompasses about 400 acres of forest. If the sale proceeds, it will be the first time that the federal government has logged in roadless areas since a new rule regarding such lands was adopted by the Bush administration in 2005. The rule allows for an 18-month period in which governors can petition for continued protection of unroaded forest lands previously protected by the 2001 roadless rule that was repealed in 2005. Governor Kulongoski opposed appeal of the 2000 rule and expressed serious concern about the rule that replaced it. He also supports placing Oregon's 1.9 million acres of roadless areas back into protected status. Kulongoski said finally, quote, "I am not against salvage logging and restoration in the right time and in the right place. But salvage logging in the Biscuit now is not the right time and not the right place," end quote. And that's from, again, Environmental News Service at ens-newswire.com. This has been In the News for June 14th, 2006. I'm Scott Berguin from KSOW-LP in Cottage Grove, Oregon. We'll talk to you next time.